It's a crowd of about, oh, maybe 100 people walking up Main Street in Willimantic today. This morning, it's nearly 10 a.m. The march is now approaching the Army National Guard recruiting office on Main Street in Willimantic. There seem to be police waiting here. There are three police cars. There are a couple barriers that the police have set up. There's a police officer standing in one of the lanes, preventing traffic from continuing. In fact, there are two police officers that are blocking traffic in either direction on Main Street. There are a couple local reporters. The crowd has amassed on the sidewalk across from the Army National Guard recruiting office. There are at least seven police officers here, standing watching what's going on. The crowd is now crossing the street where the police officers have blocked the traffic. Some of the people are assembling a banner on the sidewalk directly in front of the Connecticut Army National Guard recruiting office. They're raising the banner. And the banner says, "Protect our country, work for peace. www.crows.net/peace.html. And call a local phone number for details." They are blocking the Army National Guard Recruiting Center sign with the banner, and they are holding it in place against the wall of the recruiting center. And it's exactly 10 a.m. Spokesperson for some subgroup of this protest group is getting ready to make a statement with a small amplified device.
Okay, we're ready to start. We are here today to protest our government's action in attacking the country of Iraq. We feel that this war is unnecessary, immoral, and in violation of international law. We are here to oppose this just war and to urge every loyal American to join us by standing up and insisting that our elected officials truly represent the great ideals of our country: democracy, constitutional government, justice, and peace. By gathering here to protest, we exercise the freedom of speech guaranteed by our Constitution. Some of us are going further in the effort to demonstrate that we must stand up against immoral actions of our government even if it means disobeying certainly duly established laws. We accept responsibility for our disobedience because it comes from our conscience. We are going to demonstrate some of the real results which this war will produce. First, a child. The second person represents a Kurd. A Kurd from northern Iraq, slaughtered by Saddam after the U.S. encouraged the Kurds to revolt following the Gulf War. With superior armed forces, Saddam quickly put down the insurrection. He used poison gas on them, as he had done earlier on Iranian soldiers. We knew that this was happening, but we ignored it as our own country. We may even have provided Saddam with the basic materials to make the gases during his war with Iran. Our third person is a Shiite. A Shiite Muslim civilian lies dead. Shiites were killed by Saddam after the Gulf War. He was a peasant farmer in the southern part of Iraq and was killed while working in his field trying to produce food for his family of eight. All of the six children are too young to work on the farm, and the mother has no idea how she will provide food for the family now that her husband is dead. He was killed by an errant bomb designed to strike Basra, the major city of southern Iraq. Our next person is an Iraq soldier. He was just a poor teenager from the inner city of Baghdad, drafted into the army with little training. He was put on the front lines to slow the invaders. He had had dreams of going to school, learning English, and starting a business catering tourists. His dreams died with his mangled body. A civilian casualty. This civilian woman died on the street, but is one of the uncounted thousands of civilians who have died or will die in their homes, on the roads, and in their places of work and worship as a result of bombs which went astray and killed civilians. Our government has said, we're sorry about that, but collateral damage is inevitable in a war. Children will be left with a single parent or as orphans in a society ill-equipped to care for them as a result of the devastation from war. Work in schools, hospitals, industries, farms will be hampered as a result of the workers having been killed in this war. An old man. This older person died years after the first Gulf War from cancer as a result of breathing the air containing depleted uranium from U.S. anti-tank shells. The radioactive particles entered his bone marrow and he died an extremely painful death from leukemia some years later. An Iraqi mother was killed when her home in Baghdad was hit by a guided missile. Her seven children were left as orphans. The father was killed when he was a soldier on the battlefield. Her children were left to wander the streets homeless, trying to find food, as their house had been completely destroyed. An American human shield. A dedicated woman from the United States lost her life when a hospital she was trying to protect was bombarded. All persons in the institution were either killed or seriously injured. A number of other persons of different nationalities are in Iraq standing with the Iraqi people who are now under attack.
as the spokesperson enumerated each of the example people who had died as a result of U.S. actions in Iraq and U.S. policies in Iraq, a separate person walked in front of the recruiting office and laid down as if dead on the sidewalk. And there are now 8 people lying down on the sidewalk.
Whoop, we've done that one. It's but one of the uncounted thousands of civilians who have died or will die in their homes, on the roads, and in their places of work and worship as a result of bombs which went astray and killed. Our government has said that we are sorry about that, but collateral damage is inevitable in war. Children will be left with a single parent or as orphans in a society ill-equipped to take care of them as a result of the devastation from war. Work in schools, hospitals, industries, farms will be hampered as a result of workers having been killed in this war today started.
A 9th person has chosen to lie down on the ground. There are at least 8 police officers here who are more or less somberly overlooking what's going on. And the crowd is silent and also just watching.
Get up. You understand that? Now get up, you're under arrest.
Stand up on your feet.
There we go. Come on up. Step up. Step up on your feet.
There we go.
Police are beginning to arrest the people lying on the ground.
Come on, stand up. On your feet!
Stand up.
Help you up.
Stand up.
Four people are still on the ground.
Stand up.
Yes.
Get up, please.
People have been arrested. They've put into the police, 3 police cars.
So we're going to ask you to get up off the deck. You're going to be placed under arrest. We need you to get off the ground. You're going to be placed under arrest. Good enough. Right, we'll stand up on your feet, sir.
Thank
relax your hands, there's one easy, all right?
Yeah. Let us position your hands to get them right where we need them.
Good. Just relax your hands. You got enough room?
I think 12 still got room.
We got 3 in mind, so.
The ninth person and last person is being led away.
I was asked to be the spokesperson and media representative.
Of what group?
Northeast Coalition of Peace and Justice.
And what was the purpose of this group?
This group is opposed to and wants to make a presence against the war in Iraq.
How old are you?
I'm 84 years old.
And what are some of the things that you've done in your life that have brought you to this point?
Oh, the thing that really brought me here was during World War II, my dear wife Virginia and I were chemists on the Manhattan Project. And we tried to quit working as chemists when we found out what we were doing, that is, making an atom bomb that would kill all the people in one city almost. But we were told that if we quit, at least I would be drafted into the army and sent right back to the same laboratory desk. And if you told the army you weren't going to go to that laboratory desk, you went to prison. And I wasn't ready to go to prison, but I stayed on till the end of the war and quit the day the war was over. So from that time on, I've sort of dedicated my life to peaceful pursuits to try to make up for my sins of working on the bomb.
And you've been a college professor as well, have you not?
I was 20 years at Eastern in science, 8 years at UConn in peace studies, and 10 years in Afghanistan in Muslim countries, including Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia.
What were you doing there?
I was working with the ministries of education in improving the science teaching in the countries.
This group that you're working with today, the Northeast Coalition for Peace and Justice, what did they do today and why?
Well, we had a vigil down at the corner of Jackson and Main Street by the Frog Bridge, which we have now named the Peace Corner of Willimantic. And then we marched down Main Street on the sidewalks we came in front of the Army and National Guard station. And at that time, 9 of us laid down in front of the station, blocking the entrance, and perform civil disobedience. Those nine have now been arrested and have been taken to the police station.
Why go to that extreme? Why not just protest on the street with signs and yell and stuff?
We feel that we really need to make as strong a statement as we can. And one of the statements we can make is by disobeying the laws and being arrested as a result. The people in Iraq and our American soldiers are making a much stronger statement in getting killed. This is the least we can do.
What do you think about those American soldiers right now in Iraq?
Well, I support those American soldiers 100%. I want to bring them home now, safe and alive, and not in body bags.
What about the people of Iraq?
The people of Iraq have suffered untold agonies as a result of Saddam Hussein and his two wars and his despotism, his tyranny, his slaughter of people, and now they're going to suffer far more as a result of this war and bombing. We criticize Saddam Hussein for killing so many of them, and rightly we do so, but we're going to kill even more than he killed.
But many people say that this action is going to liberate Iraq and that this is a good thing for the people of Iraq.
I lived in Muslim countries for 8 years, and I know a little bit about the religion and how the Muslims think. They are going to, many of them, resent this war tremendously. How many in Iraq, who knows? How many are really bitterly opposed to Saddam, who knows? We'll find out, I suppose, later. But certainly Muslims all over the world are opposed to this war. The mullah, who is the head of the largest and oldest Muslim seminary in the world that trains Muslims in religious work, has issued a fatwa saying all Muslims of the world should join in the war against the United States.
The president says that this war is to protect the United States from a threat. What do you think?
Iraq is now a decimated country with a decimated military as a result of two earlier wars and as a result of the sanctions and the inspections. Their army, their military now is about one-tenth of what it was before he started the war on Iraq. It's a nation of 26 million people. We're a nation of 260 million people. We have the strongest military in the world. And Iraq is a threat to us. Iraq is 9,000 miles away from us across the ocean. They have no missiles that will reach us. They have no bombs. I don't see them as a threat.
Do you think this war on Iraq is going to make us any safer?
It's going to make us much less safe because it's going to create who knows how many terrorists all over the world who are going to continue the terrorist actions that the Al-Qaeda started.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to the people right now?
I would like to say that all good, loyal American citizens should rise up against this war and support our troops by bringing them home alive.
Thank you, Charlie Pruitt.
Thank you.